Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30 and this is Update for Wednesday, 22nd of January 2020 from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. Plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, plus the newsmakers in person. Tonight the headlines, no post for IM1-4 today. The Ben McCree didn't dock at Heysham. Young drivers need to understand speed, says the government. An update guide to what the government's climate target report means. Part number 8, plans to improve suicide prevention have been halted. The latest on the Chinese virus, and Angus the Eagle has flown off.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fast am I, Rhiann Evans.
Fast am I. The Isle of Man Post Office hopes to return to normal by tomorrow following an incident involving a suspicious package. A UK specialist support unit came to the island to dispose of the item safely. In a statement released, Post Office CEO Simon Neen says the situation is out of their control, but they're doing everything they can to minimise disruption to customers. No mail is leaving the island tonight. A man has been given a suspended jail sentence after attacking his wife. 24-year-old Rue Philippe Montero Ramos of Cullen Link appeared before High Bailiff Jane Hughes at Douglas Courthouse. He'd previously admitted charges of criminal damage, resisting police and assaulting his wife. Proposals to merge two local authorities in the south of the island have been unanimously approved by Tynwald. From the 1st of May 2020, the parish districts of Arbury and Rushen will be combined into a single local government body. From further afield, measures are being introduced to help protect the UK against a new flu-like virus from China. Flights arriving in the UK from the region will be monitored, as 500 cases have been declared worldwide. Terry Jones, a founding member of Monty Python, has died after suffering from dementia for 5 years. He directed some of the comedy troupe's best-loved works and passed away yesterday evening at the age of 77. And Taylor Swift teased her new Netflix documentary, Miss Americana. The two-minute teaser sees the pop star talking about reclaiming her public image and rejecting her belief system. Those are your headlines. I'll have more for you at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or visit manbenham.com. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Rhiann. An Hampshire Fast adieu from Ronald's Way Met Office. No warning out in the North Irish Sea, but it is foggy, dry and cloudy on the island with a light wind from the north or northwest down to 5 degrees through the night. For Thursday, Jerdain, we're looking at cloudy and dry with a light southwesterly. Daytime maximum 10, the overnight low is 6. And Friday, Jahenya, dry and cloudy, 9 degrees top temperature. Unsettled over the weekend. High waters at 10 o'clock tonight. Low water, 4:30 a.m. Sunrise, 8:20 in the morning. And the morning high water is at 10:30.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Well, the big news today, there was no postal delivery for postcodes IM1 to 4 today. Postal headquarters will remain closed until further notice while UK specialists head to the island to deal with a suspicious package. The facility has been closed since workers were evacuated this morning. In addition to postal deliveries for IM1 to 4, no mail will leave the island tonight. The post office will release further updates on social media. The chief exec, Simon Neen, said the board is working on a plan for tomorrow.
We're awaiting advice on what we'll say. We hope to provide tomorrow morning. Obviously, we'll be able to tell you that later on. But we're not expecting any airmail to leave the island tonight.
That's the latest from the post office. No airmail from the island tonight, but they reckon everything will receive airmail tomorrow morning, so everything will be okay, and they aim to deliver the best possible service to customers within limitations imposed tomorrow. Educating young drivers, ensuring vehicles are safe, and challenging the culture of speed is the headline.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
And those are some of the ideas being used in a bid to reduce crashes on Manx roads under the Road Safety Strategy. De-restricted roads will be reviewed on a case-by-case basis to see whether limiting speeds could reduce the chances of a driver having a collision. Dan Davis, the Chief Executive Officer at the Department of Home Affairs, has been speaking to Manx Radio's Sean Cowper.
The faster you go, particularly in relation to the speeds of the vehicles around you, the more likely you are to be in an accident in relative terms. And so what the Road Safety Strategy is committed to do is to say we are going to look on an evidence base at the issues relating to collisions, road traffic collisions that happen here in the Isle of Man, and where the evidence supports addressing speed limits as part of road safety, then we will certainly take action in doing that.
Is speed the main issue surrounding road safety, or is it part of a much bigger picture?
I think you're right. It is part of a much bigger picture. So speed's really important, but I think culture is really, really important. So how we view more vulnerable road users, how we view how people in cars view people on horseback, on pedestrians, on cyclists, and who are cycling. I think legislation's really important. How we teach young drivers to understand the dangers on the road and how they approach speed. So speed is really, really one part of the picture. And if you look at the Road Safety Strategy itself, that talks about safe speeds, safe vehicles, safe infrastructure, safe environment, safe systems. So all of these things come together. So speed is one part of the equation, but you can't look at it in isolation.
If there are some roads where it is found that speed is a factor and perhaps the speed limit should be changed there, when could we expect to see that happen?
I think that starts to happen fairly quickly. So the Department of Infrastructure have got the powers to change the speed limit on roads. And I think that's the beauty of working together, that where an issue is identified, then the Department of Infrastructure can act pretty quickly on that basis.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify. Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Oh, crikey. Yeah, we got trouble. Dense fog caused delays at the arrival of the Bemercree to Heysham port this afternoon. Unfortunately, due to tidal restrictions at the port after 2:30, the master of the vessel had no alternative but to return to Douglas. Estimated time of arrival is about now. So it's going to be a full boat tonight heading from Douglas at 7:45 to Heysham. Fingers crossed that the dense fog will have cleared around Heysham. Of course, the Ben is the only vessel on duty. The Fastcraft Manana will resume her seasonal services into Liverpool March 27th. The first sailing of the year to Dublin is the day after March 28th. And the first to Belfast is April the 8th.
With more than 900,000 special offer seats available during 2020, visit steam-packet.com.
22 minutes to 6, this is Update from Manx Radio. Professor Curran's much-anticipated independent report on climate change, plus the action plan in response from the Council of Ministers, received unanimous support in Tynwald yesterday. Dolan Mercer takes a look back at what the members had to say.
Chief Minister Howard Quayle submitted the report and the Comyn response to his colleagues. Together, the documents lay the foundations for the Isle of Man to become net carbon neutral by 2050. His motion also commits to creating a transformation board and transformation fund to oversee and subsidise the required action. In his closing comments, Mr. Quayle called for unity across Parliament, saying the rock throwing has to stop.
If you're not happy with something or you have a concern about an area that you don't feel is getting the attention that you feel it needs, then pick up the phone, go and see the committee that will be tasked with taking this forward. Don't wait to throw rocks at myself or Minister Boot or whoever.
Policy and Reform Minister Chris Thomas, among other members, said this was a process where government silos had been transcended.
I thank everybody in this honourable court today for having done justice to the work that the transformation team has done across government. This is not the first successful transformation project. Government doesn't work in silos all the time. There are lots of examples of this, more and more, but this is a particularly impressive episode, and we're in a good place now to spend the next 18 months working out, making the real practical decisions that we haven't quite made as yet.
And the Enterprise Minister emphasised the economic overhaul that will be required to implement this transition.
Education. And I don't mean education for our young people, because they're telling us loud and clear we need to take action. But I'm talking about education, about reskilling our economy for these new skills that are going to be required for these new technologies that we do want to encourage.
Outside of Comin, Manx Utilities Chair Dr. Alex Allenson outlined some of the practical ways the transition will be achieved, including the rollout of smart meters.
Smart metering will enable a high-tech grid which can integrate a range of variable power inputs produced by solar or wind and supply power to our customers exactly when it's needed. Smart metering will change the way we think about energy and help everyone on the Isle of Man play a part in creating a greener, cleaner, low-carbon network.
His Ramsey colleague, Laurie Hooper, who not many months ago was advocating a 2035 target date for net carbon neutrality, praised the speed at which the project had been mobilised thus far.
I would like to commend Professor Curran and his team for all the work that's gone into this, to produce it in such a short space of time. I think it shows what can be done when there is the will to do it, 7 months from the declaration of a climate emergency to the production of this plan. That is quite an achievement by Isle of Man government standards.
And Daphne Kane, whose motion in May sparked this whole debate and process, called for substantive action from government to follow its big promises.
In supporting the action plan, I would like the Chief Minister to confirm his government's commitment to resourcing it as necessary in staff and finances in order that real change can be delivered.
As ever, the full text and audio of the debate can be accessed on the Timwald website.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing. Powered by Y Manx.
Do you know the difference between a black swan and a green swan? Climate change could lead to so-called green swan events and trigger the next seismic financial crisis, according to a report by the Bank of International Settlements, the BIS, often called the Central Bank of Central Banks. They've borrowed the swan terminology from the economist Nassim Nicholas Taleb, who famously coined the black swan thesis, focused on unpredictable events that are hard to measure and can have catastrophic economic consequences. The governor of the Bank of France said that climate change poses unprecedented challenges to human societies, and the community of central banks and supervisors can't consider itself immune to the risks ahead of us. The increase in the frequency and intensity of extreme weather events could trigger non-linear and irreversible financial losses. But switching to low-carbon technologies and sources could have a major impact on most fossil fuel producers. And first in line, Canada. Stranding fossil fuels may require the United States and Canada to immediately stop extracting unconventional oil, with potentially significant impacts on the output of their national economies. The green swan could be heading for Canada. And Coca-Cola's in trouble too. Coke won't bin single-use plastic bottles because consumers still want them, they say. In 2019, Coke produced about 3 million tonnes of plastic packaging, 200,000 bottles a minute, making it one of the world's biggest plastic waste polluters. But they say business won't be in business if we don't accommodate consumers, and consumers still want plastic bottles. That's the voice of the head of sustainability at Bia Perez at the World Economic Forum in Davos, saying that relegating plastic outright would hurt Coke sales. Coke has pledged to recycle as many plastic bottles as it uses in 2030.
WiMAX. Technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit WiMAX.com today. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
The time is 16 minutes to 6, and from Ramsey Crookall, the news is UK and European markets edge lower despite China's unveiling of measures to rein in the spread of the new strain of coronavirus that's killed 9 people. Markets in Asia edged higher as investors weighed concerns over the spread of coronavirus, and the yuan dipped and the Australian dollar hit a 6-week low as investors feared the outbreak of that new coronavirus. Oil prices fell as a market surplus forecast by the International Energy Agency outweighed concern over disruptions to Libya's output. In corporate news, Antofagasta was in the red, even as the Chilean copper miner hailed record full-year copper production, despite a dip in the fourth quarter due to unrest in China. Travel company TUI lost ground, with traders pointing to news that Boeing's 737 MAX is set to remain grounded until mid-2020. Burberry was down as it posted a rise in third-quarter sales and lifted its revenue guidance for the year, but said sales in Hong Kong were dented by the unrest. rest. And the numbers at the close in London, the FTSE 100 was down 0.5% at 7,571. In Frankfurt, the DAX down 0.33% at 13,507. In New York, just after 5 o'clock, the Dow was up slightly, 0.9% at 29,221. The tech stocks index, the NASDAQ, was up 0.5% at 9,418. And in Chicago, the S&P roared on again, up 0.25% at 3,329. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 31.3 cents and €1 18.4 cents. In the commodities field, gold down slightly at $1,555 per ounce, and Brent crude down almost 2% at $63.26 a barrel.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Plans to improve the government's approach to suicide prevention have been put on hold for a month. It's after members of the House of Keys and LegCo disagreed over one of the recommendations put forward in a report by the Social Affairs Policy Review Committee. Keys approved it, LegCo voted against. Health Minister David Ashford called for a combined vote on it next month, after which the report's final three recommendations will be voted on. The debate, which preceded this, lasted for more than 2 hours and saw some members speak about having to help people who'd contemplated ending their lives. These included Onken MHK Julie Edge, who sat on the committee and gave an emotional address.
I've had to help two very young people who have been suicidal on this island. One when I was a professional and one as an individual. There is no help or support for individuals on this island that reach that point. I've sat on Onken Head with an individual, and I really want everyone in here to accept the recommendations that this committee has come forward with. We need to take action. We need to make sure that we have other parties who are accessible to young individuals, that they feel in a safe environment and they can go to.
Following the vote, Ed Oldham asked the chair of the committee, David Cretney, MLC, how he felt about the one-month delay.
It's very frustrating, really. You just reminded me there were 13 parts of our 13 recommendations. We got to number 10. We're now stuck on number 10. So nothing will happen until next month when there's a combined vote on number 10. The government amendment will be successful then because the numbers added up. It's just the upper house went with the committee and the lower house went with the government. So looking at those figures, the government will get that through next month. And hopefully 11, 12 and 13 as well will be agreed then, because next month is my last month and I want to see this through before I finish.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Ed Oldham.
The Isle of Man's Special Olympics football team is ready and raring to go as it heads to Gibraltar tomorrow to compete in an annual competition. The Gareth Cowan Memorial Tournament was set up 5 years ago following the death of the popular local Special Olympics footballer. Over the weekend, the squad will take on Algeciras and host side Gibraltar, who won the comp last year. The tournament was set up on the basis that whoever won it would host it. However, it's been agreed that regardless of who is crowned champion this year, the tournament will be brought back to home soil in 2021. Isle of Man FA Chief Executive Frank Stennett is travelling with the team as a coach.
I think the lads, I mean, they'll be looking forward to it. When they get out on the pitch, all our players are physically fine. They just have some different severities of learning issues. But ultimately, they're as keen as any group of footballers. You know, they want to get on the pitch. They want to play. Sadly, they don't want to train, but that's just a part and parcel of it.
Frank Stennett there. And further afield, Saracens chairman Neil Golding says they're happy for the full report into their breach of the Rugby Union Premiership salary cap to be made public. The domestic and European champions will play next season in the Championship as part of their punishment. Golding hopes that will allow the club to draw a line under their mistakes and concentrate on putting new robust procedures in place. And Heather Watson and Harriet Dart are now the only British players left in the singles draw of the Australian Open tennis. Dan Evans was the latest Brit to crash out.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Just from the Isle of Man, as I mentioned, the big news is that the Ben McCree will be heading back with everyone on it who was supposed to get to Heysham, so it'll be full out tonight at 7.45. On the roads, everything is the normal two-way traffic lights here, there and everywhere across the Isle of Man. If you want more information, by the way, go to manxradio.com for all the trains, planes, boats, buses and rails and what's happening on the promenade. But I can tell you from Ronald's Way, everything's fine. The London City 5 past 5 will be going slightly late. The 5 to 6 Edinburgh will be just about on time. Later departures for Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick showing no problems at the moment.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Tynwald members have now discussed and approved the report of Professor Curran and his Manx Civil Service team aimed at achieving climate change targets. Every member said yes, it was unanimous. But it's only the end of the beginning. There's an enormous journey ahead on this island if our way of life and our practices are to be altered in a meaningful way. We've already had an example of what a driven individual can achieve. Bill Dale, British Empire Medal and thousands of beach buddies. But let's hear some of the points made by members of Tynwald: Jane Poole-Wilson, MLC, Alex Allenson, Chair of Manx Utilities, and Bill Shimmins. But first, an holistic statement from the Chief Minister.
Here are the questions raised by some of our community who query the impact that a small nation such as ours can have and ask why we might bother to do anything. In response to that, I'd like to quote Robert Swan, OBE, who said in 2012 that the greatest threat to our planet is the belief that someone else will save it. If we want to be globally respected as a responsible jurisdiction, we must join in with global action, not sit by on the sidelines using the excuse of our relative small size.
Professor Curran recognises that the transition to net zero may not be easy, but he also shows us it can be done. And critically, there are opportunities and benefits in doing so.
Smart metering will enable a high-tech grid which can integrate a range of variable power inputs produced by solar or wind and supply power to our customers exactly when it's needed. Smart metering will change the way we think about energy and help everyone on the Isle of Man play a part in creating a greener, cleaner, low-carbon network.
This fundamentally will change how we all live our lives, and it will impact on everyone. But not everyone wants change, and most people take comfort from the past. That's understandable. Yeah. And some people are reluctant to alter their behaviour or give up practices that they enjoy. And some will continue to question, why is this needed?
7 minutes to six on Manx Radio. On update, the Chinese New Year is on the way and China's state media says 17 people have now died after contracting the coronavirus. It's continuing to spread. More than 400 cases have been reported, prompting officials to increase monitoring of air passengers landing in the UK from China. Dr. Nick Finn from Public Health England says they've introduced other precautions as well.
On the flight, there will be announcements really describing what the symptoms of the infection are and what people should do. And there will be posters in airports advising people, and this is probably the most important thing, of what to do should they be unwell.
Professor Devi Sridhar from the University of Edinburgh specialises in global public health. She said the symptoms resemble a severe version of a cold.
For example, having high fevers accompanied by difficulty breathing, and that's been one that's been reported quite frequently, breathlessness, coughing, and then turning into pneumonia, which is fluid in the lungs.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
And finally, a rare white-tailed eagle named Angus visited the Isle of Man. Whilst Angus has since departed, Neil Morris, Managing Director of Manx BirdLife, says his presence is a promising sign that the reintroduction programmes in Ireland and Scotland are working well. Speaking to Manx Radio's Lewis Foster, Mr Morris explained the kind of journey Angus has been on and what led him to the island.
Well, the satellite track data that we received from the Irish project team shows that he arrived on the island around about the 29th of November last year at the Calf of Man, having made a seaward journey from the north Scottish coast. He then travelled north up the west coast of the island towards Peel. We then received some subsequent satellite data which showed that he was in the central hills of the island. So in liaison with the different agencies involved, I headed out into the hills to try and track him down and eventually located his roosting site and at that time his feeding location.
So what was it Angus was doing here on the island? Was he just resting or fueling up?
Yeah, I think he was fueling up. He was born in Connemara on the west coast of Ireland, and young eagles do tend to travel quite a bit, and he was no exception. He flew from his birthplace to Scotland, across the Mull of Kintyre, and then further east across to spend about 6 months in northeastern England. And we think that his arrival on the Isle of Man was on his way back from the North England wintering area that he had been in, back across to Ireland. And it was interesting that he didn't follow the same route back across the Mull of Kintyre, and we think either he got slightly confused or perhaps pushed further south than he'd intended by some winds and decided to try to use the Isle of Man as a stepping stone across the Irish Sea.
Do you expect to see him back on the Isle of Man at any point in the future?
It's really hard to say if we're going to see him back here again. Sometimes these sort of early wanderings become regular seasonal habits. I think more often than not, the birds tend to, once they've matured and they've done their wandering as a youngster, they tend to stick around their breeding territories most of the time. So I would guess it's a bit unlikely that we'll see him again.
That's it for Update tonight. Thanks to our studio producer, Sarah Hendy. I'm Andy Wint, and Update without the eagle, back tomorrow, Thursday evening. Have a great Wednesday.